Sunday, February 10th, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to be talking about six ways to brand yourself more effectively. Now, those of you who know me, you know I'm very passionate about this whole subject of personal branding. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of people dismiss it because it really has become, if you think of it, one of those used and abused phrases, kind of like in sales, how we say, I'm a consultant, right? Or value added, or I add value, all those kinds of things. But I really have a little bit of a personal journey I want to share with you. And then I want to get really into a lot of the meat and potatoes, as they might say, and just give you a lot of tips, even beyond, above and beyond, those six ways that I kind of mentioned before. But before we do any of that, I need to remember my manners, and I have a few shout-outs that I have this week. Those of you who have been following the podcast, you know that when I do a shout-out, it's just me remembering to thank those who are kind enough to stop by iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave an awesome review. So, three very quick ones for you today, and I'm going to apologize in advance. I hope that I'm not butchering anyone's name. Boy, that's going to make me feel awful if I find out, man, you just really screwed that up, Castain. But here it goes. The first one comes from Kevin Warren, and he says, all I can say is wow. What have I been waiting on? Great stuff, and I look forward to listening to more in the future. Don't pass this up. And Mark Cinesiosa writes, Paul's podcasts are a great listen because of his style and excellent content. But the best thing is that you can implement his ideas quickly into your territory and see results. And before I go on to the next one, we're going to have a quick timeout on that thought. That is exactly what I want to accomplish with these podcasts. I don't want to get into all these complex strategies that make people feel dumb or just make them feel like foolish for not being able to do and just too complicated. I think the problem when we go too complicated is that we just kind of shut down, right? And we don't really embrace it. So the things that I teach here, I want them to be things that literally from the moment you exit the podcast, you could do today with really nothing more than just a time investment involved. So that's exactly what I want to do. So thank you for pointing that out, Mark. That really makes me feel good knowing that people are feeling that. And last but not least, there's no name here, but there's a handle. And it's from Skater Chick, which just many of you may know, that was my maiden name, Skater Chick, just so you know. But anyway, long story. Great lesson, look inside, great advice. So I want to thank Kevin, Mark, and Skater Chick. Don't want to forget about Skater Chick. Thank you so much for the kind words. But if you guys don't mind, I believe it's time to get down to business. Got that New York thing going on in me. And I just got to tell you something real quick. You may hear like bulldozers and stuff in the background today. I don't know if this microphone's going to pick it up. I don't know if you guys know this, and a major blizzard up here in New York this weekend. And so you might hear snow plows and snow blowers, all that kind of stuff. But as they say, the show has to go on, man. Blizzards and all. I am dedicated to this. So let's get down to business. Let's talk about these six ways that you can brand yourself more effectively. Quick personal story. I have told this many times. If you know where I'm going with this, like, uh-oh, here he goes. Appallism. I've heard it way too many times. You can fast forward, man. I'm telling you. In about 2 minutes, man, I'll be on to stuff you haven't heard. But just very quickly, my journey with personal branding begins the way most people begin their journey. First of all, it begins with like just complete dissing of the phrase. It's like, here we go again. Here's the latest catchphrase. Like I mentioned before, adding value and being a consultant in personal branding, right? So here we go. And I kind of dismissed it for years and years and years. I never really saw the value in it. And I had a very, very successful sales career. And a few years ago, I was finishing up training some aspiring sales rock stars down in Memphis. I'll never forget it. It was back in 2008. Had a great group of people, probably about 25, 30 people in that class. We're finishing up, and I'm just like, I always talk about it like a movie. It's almost like that part of the movie, like where the announcer was saying, well, things were going good, too good. And you just like hear the eerie music creep in. I'm like literally in like the last minute before this is over, the class. So I'm like right in the end zone. And someone raised their hand very respectfully and said, hey, Paul, you know, this whole time, you've been putting us on the spot. And just as a quick timeout, on the spot is an exercise that I do many times in the classroom, and it's just like the name implies. I'll bring people up, and everybody participates, so it's not like I'm just picking on anybody. Everybody, all 30 people participated several times in this exercise. We bring them up in front of their peers and put them through a series of difficult questions, objections, pepper them with them, so this way they have to respond. It helps them get quicker in their reflexes and builds up confidence. And we don't break anybody down in front of the whole class, but we make it not really, you know, the easiest experience. So this way, you develop your muscles and you develop your confidence. But I just wanted you to know what that meant before I continue. But getting back to the story, the main story. So this guy said, hey, look, you've been putting us on the spot. Can we put you on the spot? And I'll never forget, I was like the New York in me came out, kind of cracked my neck, pointed my finger gun sideways, and I remember saying, well, you know, like to myself, bring it. And he says, well, you had talked about how you wanted to write a book, and you had mentioned it, and if you don't mind me asking, once again, he's very polite, I don't want you guys all attacking this guy, for giving you Uncle Paul a hard time. And he says, but why haven't you done it? What's keeping you from doing it? And you want to talk about a left hook. And I often talk about this wonderful thing that we have called a filter that runs from your brain to your mouth to keep you from kind of thinking out loud, right? And just kind of, we've all had those moments. Mine was like either asleep in the car that day or drunk somewhere. I don't know. But it was nowhere to be found because before I even realized it, I was saying, because I'm scared. And it was like one of those moments, like in the movies, you know, like when all of a sudden you hear like the needle scratch across the record. It was literally like that. In fact, I think somebody actually brought a record player to class just to do that. They knew it was going to happen. It was a setup, I'm telling you. And because I think I heard it. And it just, I didn't know what to say. So sometimes in life, I think you have to man up and you have to realize that something's going on that is a tap on your shoulder about to like, give you a lesson and make you kind of like a need for pause and reflection. And I said, well, you guys heard it. I mean, there's no taking that back. And I'm scared. I don't know why. And I guess when you guys are out partying on Beale Street tonight, I'll be trying to sort this out and figure it out. Let you know when I get there, right? Get back to the hotel room. And I really had to kind of invite my ego now to go and wait in the car with that filter that was supposed to be on duty that day. And I asked myself, that's what I call myself. And I just kind of asked, but what is it that you're scared of? Because I'm not scared. At that point, I wasn't scared of writing because I was doing it. I wasn't blogging and I wasn't podcasting and creating content at all. But I was creating an incredible amount of sales training material. I was supporting 850 salespeople in a billion-dollar company as a vice president, overseeing the entire training operation, which was yours truly, by the way. And I was writing all this content, scripting things, you name it, a tremendous amount of stuff. I mean, honestly, if we put it into books, it was probably 5 or 6 books worth of content already at that point. It was that much. Honestly, it was just a tremendous amount. So it wasn't that. And then I really thought about it and I realized that outside of those four walls, right, outside of that safe little realm that I had, nobody knew who Paul Castain was. And that scared me because I realized that in the bigger picture that at that point was someday writing a book. That, hey, you know, maybe half of those 800 people might buy the book. It'd be great to finally be able to write a book, but then nobody buys it. And then like you're the guy at the bar later in his life saying, yeah, I kind of wrote a book and like 3 people bought it. And that's no place for me. And that's what really scared me. So I kind of confirmed it by going into Google, doing a search of my name, and like 2 results came back. And that was both a reality check and an insult to me because at that point I had been in the sales profession about 25 years, I guess it was. And I'm saying to myself, I remember very clearly saying this, that, okay, so after 25 years, all you have to show as far as an online footprint is 2 results. Unacceptable. So that's when I made a decision to get very serious about creating a brand. And I kind of refer to this as my Castain 2.0 journey, where everything that I had learned beforehand was very, very important. I didn't want to abandon the traditional methods that were very, very good to me and the people that I had trained. But I realized that eyeballs were shifting and things were changing and that people would be looking online. And as much as we Google people, they Google us. People, their eyeballs, they're just shifting as far as where they get their information from. And this, I needed to deliver my level of expertise out there to the public. And the only way that I knew, other than being in a classroom, was now, okay, I had to embrace all this online stuff. So I got involved in this out of initially fear, then a reality check, and then just a clear understanding of this is where things are going. And I'm very glad that I chose to do this, because at that point, I truly had no intention of starting the business that I own today. I knew that it would be a someday type of thing. And I'm sure we've had those inner dialogues. Someday it's not even serious. It's like, someday it's more like maybe, or perhaps. That's where I was at. And next thing you know, a few years later, it was actually 3 years later, I had another tap on the shoulder. And it was like my kind of life is short type of moment. And I realized that someday is never going to happen unless I truly own it and get going on it. And now I own a very successful business as a result of it. So kind of enough about that personal stuff. I want to get into six things that would really help you that, from my journey, made all the difference in the world. So I hope it'll serve you as well. The very first thing is that you have to define who you want to serve. And I've talked about this before, and not just knowing, well, yeah, I mean, if you a person wants to train, yes, I want to train salespeople. Okay, duh, right? Thanks for that advice, Kestan. Glad I didn't pay you for that. Well, I think you have to go further than that. Know who, yes, titles and things like that are pretty cool, but you have to then fire yourself mentally and think about the things that would challenge you if you were in that position. And I'll just use the example of someone who purchases a widget. And it's not just the widget and the purchasing of that widget that might give them stress. It's the fact that they have internal customers that are expecting them to get that widget. It's the fact that they have to manage multiple vendor relationships out there. That's another thing that plays into it. But there's many, many things, and I want you to think about it. It's deadlines. It's quality control. It's your bonus. Many times when you're purchasing something, you one of the performance bonuses that you're given is based on your ability to reduce some costs and things like that. So having to continually negotiate and beat people up over the price. How about, and I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm slapping the sales profession in the face, but it is what it is. And sometimes we just got to be real about this whole thing. I don't know that I'd want to deal with salespeople. I mean, sometimes we don't have the best reputations. Right? I mean, when you look at the sales professionals, a lot of people that have just a lot, they're just really reserved about dealing with us. So things like that, and communication, and maybe dealing with my boss when I missed a deadline, all that kind of stuff would be very painful to me. So you have to think of it from that perspective, but then think of it from the other perspective. Sales is not about finding pain exclusively. That, to me, is just a complete misdirection of energy, and it's going to get us in trouble if we continue to do that. I was taught that way. I'm sure you have, too. We've heard it from the beginning of time. It's all about finding the pain. I'm here to tell you that you may think there's always going to be pain. There's not always pain, and you know that. Let me tell you how you know this, because I am sure you've had appointments that you left there saying, I felt like I asked really good questions and stuff, and it was like nothing. So either they BS'd you, or truly, nothing was broken. So if you're only going after pain and nothing is broken, you've screwed yourself. There's nothing you can do at that point. So that's why I always say, you have to also know what the opportunity is that you can help them embrace. So opportunities are not necessarily painful. These are things that, you know, we're good, but man, wow, yeah, that would be cool if we could do that. Like, let me give you some examples generically. I would say businesses want to always increase sales, right? And there's not too many that don't. So more sales and more profit, increasing efficiencies. How about things like happy customers? And it would only be painful if they have a bunch of unhappy customers. What if they're doing well and they want to just get happier customers? I mean, how cool would that be? Things like that, and happy shareholders and things like that. So you have to fire yourself. Think about everything that would get under your skin. Think about all the opportunities that you would have as well. And you can't stop there. You also want to identify what would be the top 20 to 25 questions that you would have in that role. It could be questions about the buying process, like how you go about doing something and how to gather the best information and how you can make a more informed decision. So it could be things about the process, and that's important too. It also could be just things in general that would help you to do your job better, deal with your internal customers, and just having a higher level of knowledge. So let me give you just a quick example from what I understand, which is sales training. And I have a few different people that I serve. I serve sales reps. I serve vice presidents of sales and sales managers, right? The leadership level. And I also serve business owners who manage sales reps or are doing kind of multiple hats and things like that. So what I did, and I continue to fire myself at least once a quarter, by the way, you have to do it regularly so that you stay in tune. And you think about these different areas. So in my case, I just made a whole list. Like, what would be the questions? Well, obviously, starting with how do I sell more? How do I overcome a price objection? How do I, like the title of this podcast, how do I brand myself so that people know that I'm different than everybody else? How do I stand out in a really noisy marketplace? How do I ask better questions? Things like that. And I can go on and on and on. And it's very, very important. So that is your starting point. I would also advise you to go to your marketing folks, find out maybe if they've done similar things. What are some of the questions that they're asked? Definitely go to customer service. What are questions you guys are being asked on a regular basis? Ask your fellow sales people on your team, dudes or dudettes that you work with. Say, what are some of the questions that you're asked? And I would even go to your webmaster, whoever responds to the questions that come in from your website. What are some of the typical questions? Now you need that, because that helps you understand the people that you're serving. And I think that's one of the most important things in branding yourself, is beginning from a position of understanding and being in tune with the people that you want to serve. Now, from there, you really need to give some thought to how you're going to demonstrate your expertise. So now, if you know these are the top questions, these are the pain points, these are the opportunity points, these are the things that people are talking about most when I go out in the field and with my customers and all that, how can you demonstrate your expertise to the masses? And so this way people look at you and say, wow, here is a person that knows what they're talking about. This is my go-to person for this widget or for this type of thing, or hopefully in my case, for sales training things and coaching things and things to make you sell more. So those are some of the things that you have to do. Then you need to give thought to, well, can I create content and either write? It doesn't have to be just writing a blog, just so you know that, or making a podcast. And to be quite candid with you, if we went like back in 2008, jumped in a time machine together, went to this moment in time, and you showed me that I would have YouTube videos and doing this podcast and the amount of content that I write, I probably would have quit on the spot because it's overwhelming. Don't allow yourself to get overwhelmed with this. You could actually have a lot of fun doing it and serve a lot of people, which is a key component of this whole process. And what I would suggest that you do, start with baby steps. And you could, even if you don't want a blog and you don't want a podcast, you don't want to do videos or whatever, then how about putting a tip, just a simple tip, to your target audience in your status update on LinkedIn, or tweet it on Twitter, obviously, or if you have a Facebook fan page set up or whatever. Things like that, nice and easy, just a quick tip that you can create to put out there. And you know what? If that still comes across as a little bit overwhelming for you, why don't you try something else? Why don't you try curating the content? When you curate content, it means you haven't authored it, but there's something out there that could serve your audience, and you're sharing the content. Now, you could, it's certainly, you could have things from your competitors and pass it along to your network. That can be okay, and it's done on Twitter. We all kind of help each other out in the sales community. That's wonderful, but really beyond that, I'm talking about things that could be an industry study. It could be, for example, let's say you serve small business owners and you're reading Inc. magazine, or you're on their online site and you see a really cool article, share that with your network. That's what I mean by curating, or that's what they mean when the term is used, curating content. Think about that. That is one of the things that you can do to really position yourself as a go-to person, which I think is very important. People want the information. So you want to align yourself with that. Let's go to item number three. You have to, and this one you have to circle, give serious thought to what do you want to be known for? What is your main thing? You know, I want to talk about this. This is something that gets butchered quite a bit. People really don't think. They might think about, okay, well, I want to target vice presidents of sales or business owners or whatever it is. And yeah, they might think about some content and stuff, but they go all over the damn place. One minute, they're talking about something that actually serves their audience. The next minute, they are literally, I'm not kidding you, tweeting play-by-play like they're a wannabe announcer on the football game or a political opinion, or they're talking about something that they're cooking or whatever it is. So I want to be very clear about that. I'm a big advocate of showing different sides of your personality to your audience. Those of you who know me on Facebook, I have no problem putting up a video of me playing the guitar. That really doesn't have to do with what I do, although it is sales tips for the aspiring rock star. I didn't really specify what kind of rock star, right? So I guess I'm kind of safe there. But seriously, I want to show that side. I have no problem. I like to cook. I don't mind showing that side as well. And obviously, I like to eat, as evidenced by my appearance. But I don't mind doing those things. But my rule of thumb, and to each their own, is that the bulk of my messaging has to underscore and smile at my main thing. The main thing I want you to be able to look at and say, that is Castain. That's what I go to him for. So for me, it's about 95% is going to be underscoring that. The other 5% is going to be letting you get to know me, which I think is an important part of this whole courtship that I'm always talking about. So please keep that in mind and answer this question on your own when you have some thinking time. People buy difference. What's yours? In other words, why would they pick you over all these other choices? And for you to think that there's not other choices is just not thinking this thing through properly, because maybe you're blessed enough to be going into something or representing something that truly there is no other choice. But could that change 6 months from now? I mean, business moves at the speed of light. You could be the dinosaur in 6 months from now. So very important. Answer that question. People buy difference. What's yours? Next, let's go to the next item, item number four. You have to show up regularly. And what you need to know is that in a relationship, you cannot show up 1 minute, disappear the next. You're here, you're gone, you're here, you're gone. Great example. And think about this in your personal life. Would you trust somebody who showed up today and they were completely intense for the next 2 weeks, and then they disappear and go MIA for 6 months? Then they come back for 3 weeks, then they're gone for 3 months, then they're back for a year, gone for a couple of days. And this happens every single day in both social networking, I see it, and I also see it in traditional forms of securing business. Like 1 minute you're calling a business and then you take like 7 months off from calling them for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But you're not there enough for them to get to know you. So showing up is very, it's just such a critical part of this process. So you need to take that seriously, and you need to think about our relationships. Relationships work best when there is that consistency and that you are consistently showing up. So please think that through. Very, very important. Next, repetition is the mother of brand. I'm going to say that again. Repetition is the mother of brand, meaning very simply that whatever you do consistently and regularly will be associated to you. People will think of you and the behavior that you're engaging in. So there can be good parts of that and bad parts. I'm going to give you a good example of a bad example, if you will. And I want to be very careful how I say this, because I don't want to be very specific about it, because it's not my position to badmouth or make anybody look bad. And I would not feel good if I was listening to a podcast. I'm like, well, geez, they're talking about me, man. Like, I feel like the dork, right? So I don't want to do that. But I will tell you that I've come across several people like this, but one person I'm thinking of is someone that I'm sure is very knowledgeable at what they do. But it is, we never see that, because the person is busy in like every LinkedIn group. And I'm saying is, like, it's like now my information, actually I'm thinking back 6 months to a year ago. For all I know, this person is not even around. I don't see this person anymore. And I think it's because I think he's been thrown out of like every group on LinkedIn. But he was very, very argumentative. And I don't mean just being passionate about an opinion. I mean combative and abusive and just like going head on with people. And here's the problem. When you see something like that and you see that behavior over and over and over again, you automatically say, okay, then the guy's an a-hole, right? And the guy's an idiot and he's a pain in the ass or whatever it is. But meanwhile, I'm sure that wasn't his objective when he set out on his personal branding mission. You know, item number one, be an idiot or like just be combative and have the whole world hate me. I guarantee you that was not the objective. But the behavior, because it was consistent over time and repetition set in, people automatically associate this person as a joke. So what happens is it just distracts us from the main message that this person is going for. Please understand, it also plays into what I was saying about your main thing. If my main thing is sales training, and all you ever do is see me playing the guitar, you're not going to consider me a sales trainer, I promise you that. If my main thing is sales training, and all you ever see is me talking politics or giving play-by-play on a game, you're not going to think about me as a sales trainer. So what you have to work repetition in your favor. So that's what that means. Let's move on. Next. In fact, and I'm shocked that we went to item number six already. Item number six. What you have to do is understand that with that repetition, right, and you showing up regularly, people will judge you. Like, put on my Captain Obvious cape for that one, folks. Yes, people are going to judge you, but you need to understand how. There are six judgments, and these judgments play into real life, and they play into your virtual online world. And I'm also here to tell you that people judge you from the moment they meet you, and you could be 10 years into your relationship. You could be like me and Mrs. Uncle Paul going on 30 years that I asked that woman out, and she was nice enough to say yes to me. And it doesn't matter. You're still judging. So here's what the six judgments are. I'll take the time to like really go over one or two of them, but the rest, I'm going to put a link in the show notes, which you can access by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/71. Now, the six judgments are how you look is the first one. Just a quick explanation of that. I don't mean that you have to look like Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in face-to-face types of things, it could be if you look professionally. Yes, that's all covered under that. But also, how about like the appearance of your website or your blog? How about your social networking profile? Did you bother to fill it out? Do you have links that are up to date, or is it like linked to something that like is like 5 years like defunct, like you're not like any part of it anymore? Or like a Twitter account that like you bailed out on in 2009? And people laugh when I talk about this, but I'm telling you, I'm basing it on the truth. So things like that, how you look, are very, very important part of that appearance. But let's go on. So it's how you look, how you act, and let's go there for a second. That example that I gave you before about that person who was always being associated with kind of being a jerk, that's kind of how he's acting. So people are going to judge you on that. What you say, how you say it, where you say it, with whom you say it. And that's important because kind of like the where you say it and with whom you say it. Let's take that one for those two for an example. Is it possible that we could be considered a jerk by association? Let's take that person that I was talking about before. What if you despise this person and you were one of the people he targeted and you had a brawl with this person in one of the LinkedIn groups or whatever, and you despise this person and you look and there I am hanging out with this person in a group, or this person's always making comments on my blog and I'm saying, no, you're the best. No, Castain, you're the best. And all of a sudden, could I become that jerk by association? But you can also become somebody who's knowledgeable by association because you're hanging out with smart people and you're interacting with them. And there's a lot more to that. But the important thing is that you understand and respect these six judgments, which are, again, how you look, how you act, what you say, how you say it, where you say it, with whom you say it. You have to give thought to that, and you have to make sure that none of them contradict each other. I mean, an example, and this is going to go a little off color, sorry, it's got to come out, right? I got to get this out of my system. But what if, like, I went into the room, and you guys were all there, and like, you guys actually wanted to see me speak, right? Imagine that. And I'm doing a speech, and I said, everyone, I am really happy to be here. And I just said it in the most monotone voice possible while giving you all the finger and just not, like, just showing any, like, just like a real sour look on my face. Would you believe me? And the answer is, I hope that you wouldn't believe me. And why? Because there was so many other things going on that contradicted the words that were being spoken. So these things have to smile at each other. Picture them like a fleet that you have. One on one ship, it's marked how you look, and on the other one, it's how you act, right? And we keep going on and on and on. They have to be sailing the same way because the strength is in all of them supporting each other. That's the same with your brand. So there you have it, folks. We have six things today. We talked about defining who you want to serve by firing yourself. Look at both the pain points, look at the opportunities that would exist, come up with the top 20 to 25 questions. Talk to people in your organization that also come in contact with customers and see what kind of questions they're asking. Talk to your webmaster, whoever's handling those questions coming in. Ask other sales reps, what are some of the top questions you're being asked by potential clients and even existing customers? And from there, item number two, give some thought to how you're going to demonstrate expertise that now speaks to those areas. Because those are the things that people are going to want to hear about, obviously. So how are you going to demonstrate your expertise? Very, very important. Are you going to create content or are you going to curate that content, which is simply sharing other people's content? Next, what do you want to be known for? And what is your main thing? Ask yourself that question. People buy difference. What is your difference? People have choices. Why would they choose you above all these other choices that are out there? And then what you need to do is make sure that you are showing up regularly. And we talked about this whole idea of a relationship. You can't be here, gone, here, gone, here, gone. You have to do it consistently. Very, very important. And by the way, like any other relationship, you can't overkill it either. You can't now become like this annoying relative that keeps inviting themselves over for dinner. Very, very important that you have a good balance in there. Next, repetition is the mother of brand. Whatever you do consistently and regularly will be tied to you. People will associate you with the behavior that you most consistently, regularly are aligned with. So please give that thought. Understand that you are going to be judged six ways: how you look, act, what you say, how you say it, where you say it, with whom you say it. And with that, I want to just kind of end on a few notes. The first thing is, I just want to let you know that next month, I think toward the end of the month, I'll have it in the show notes, we have a program coming up that if you're a sales manager or maybe someday want to be a sales manager, if you are a vice president of sales, any kind of a sales leadership position, certainly business owners that either manage sales reps or plan on it, you're going to want to check out this online course. It's six sessions, and it's all on your computer screen, so no travel and all that kind of stuff, being away from your business. You could do it at your pace, because I record each and every one, so I'll deliver it live, and then I'll send out the recording to everybody so you can go at your pace. And let me just give you an idea of some of the topics we're going to be talking about. We'll have the first two sessions designed, and we'll be talking about how you can hire sales rock stars, everything from finding these people, identifying the qualities that you're looking for, developing great interview questions, things like that. I'll also give you a good hiring process to follow that's served me and my clients very, very well. We'll talk about, once you hire this person, this rock star, how do we onboard them properly through an initial training program and all the support that you need to do to make sure they are armed and dangerous. Next, we'll talk about coaching. I'll offer a variety of formats, from joint sales calls to one-on-ones, even those performance improvement plans that you have to put people on if they're not quite doing what they need to do. And unfortunately, we'll even talk about how to transition someone out of the organization after you've exhausted all the possibilities. We're also going to talk about sales meetings that rock. I am extremely passionate about that topic. I have been in sales meetings as a sales rep that did anything but rock. They absolutely sucked. They just kind of brought about out-of-body experiences. I will show you how to just stop that insanity completely, give you lots of tips on that. And then finally, how you can develop a high performance culture in your organization. So if you're interested in that, would you please look at the show notes? And speaking of show notes, I'm going to have instructions in there on how you can go to iTunes and leave us a rating. If you have found value in this, one of the coolest things you could do for me, it's kind of like, if you like that musician, what they're doing, and you see the tip jar, this is kind of like my tip that you can give me. If you enjoy and find value in this podcast, go back to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, leave some kind words, and I promise you, I will acknowledge each and every one of them on the podcast. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get it. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.